Hallelujah. But if that ain't something to get amped up about, I don't know what is, huh? All right, today, we're on detox. Detox number four, and power. Detox. Detox is the process of removing toxic substances from the body. It's getting the junk out, amen? In the spirit realm, it's getting rid of those things out of our lives that are not pleasing to God. Amen? That we can glorify God in all that we say and all that we do. So it's walking in the Spirit is what being detoxed does. It enables us to walk in the Spirit of God so we don't do what? So we don't fulfill the lust of our flesh. How many of you got a flesh? We all have this thing. It may be dying, but it's still there. Amen? So, and we need to remember that as we focus on God, and what the Holy Spirit wants, we get rid of those things which have been a hindrance to our walk with God. And we're able to fulfill God's plan for our lives because you're created for a reason. You're created for purpose. And so as we put our attention on God, we're able to focus on Him. Then those things in our life, you see, because what we tend to look at is we tend to look at our lives instead of at God. We tend to look at our attitudes. We tend to look at our shortcomings. We look at how we fall and stumble. We look at all that. But God wants us to focus on Him. Because the more that we focus on Him, the less we're going to do the things of our flesh. Can I hear an amen? So, but before we get too deep, I want to talk about the Godhead for a minute. I was in college this week, and they gave us some statistics of things that I didn't like. So I want to make sure that's not none of us. Okay, so first thing I want to tell you that there is God the Father. Amen? There is God the Son. And there is God the Holy Spirit. Amen? It is not 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 3. It's 1 times 1 times 1 times 1 equals 1. Amen? It's 3 in 1. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. 1 times 1 times 1 times 1 equals... One, there's one, but yet three, amen? I know it's the hardest thing in the world to wrap our heads around, and we may never comprehend it. And I told them in class, when I was in class the other night, I said, you know what? I may not understand it all, and I might not be able to teach it all, but I do know this. I believe it all. I just accepted it. I've accepted it into my life that there's three in one, and so I'm good with that, amen? That Jesus wasn't created when He was born through Mary. He always was. Amen? So in the beginning, God created, God Elohim, which is plural three, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Spirit was across the waters. And if you go to John 1, 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. In John 1, 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word is God, is Jesus. It's Jesus. The Word is Jesus. So the Word and God spoke the Word and all these things were created. So the Godhead has been involved in this world from the planning stages, from the beginning. So the Holy Spirit was not created when He was sent to the world. He always was. Amen? He always was. He's always been there. 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 3. That's not it. 1 times 1 times 1 times 1 equals what? 1. The Godhead. 3 in 1. So being filled with the Holy Spirit is being filled with the living God. Can I hear an amen? The living God dwells in you when you're filled with the Spirit of God. John chapter 14 verse 23 says this. He says, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we, everybody say we, will come to him and make our home with him. We will come. The three in one will come and make their home with you when we believe in Jesus Christ. Amen? If you love him and keep his word, the Father, the Son, the Spirit, they're coming. They're in you. We will come. We all have a body. We have a soul, which is our mind, our will, and emotions. And we have a spirit. And it's our spirit that connects with God. Amen. So being filled with the Spirit of the living God can have such an incredible influence on us. It can transform us and detox us to the point that the spirit is leading and the flesh is just a glimmer of who we are. Robert, come here. Marvin, I'm struggling with names. Charles, come here. Okay, just stand on the step right there. Don't fall down. Stand on the step. Okay, this is my spirit, this is my soul, and this is my flesh. You notice how big the flesh is. He's taller than... He's taller, see? That's a lot of poof. So, but my spirit, man, is what connects with God, right? My spirit, God spoke to my spirit. God drew my spirit to my knees. I sat in the service one day when I was younger, and the Holy Spirit connected with my spirit that I ran to this altar, and my spirit, man, got born again. My spirit said, God, I love you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to commit my life to you today. My spirit said, forgive me of all my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I love you, Jesus. But my mind and my will and emotions did not get born again that day. So that's why the Word of God says you have to work out your salvation daily. You have to change your mind. You have to change your will. And a lot of us have to change our emotions. And then the flesh just wants what it wants. The flesh wants to do fleshly things and it didn't get saved. So what happens is you got your spirit man that gets born again. And so by the spirit, and you see how much bigger, taller the flesh is than the spirit. So when I get born again, I've got to start feeding this spirit man. I got to feed him. So I got a list here of things I'm going to feed him with. I'm going to feed him with, where did it go? I don't know. I'm going to feed him with worship. I'm going to fill my spirit with worshiping God. You see, because when I fill my spirit with worship, it has an effect on my mind. It destroys heaviness. Amen? So I fill myself with praise and worship to God, and then the enemy can't have a way. I fill my spirit with the Word of God. You know, and so it's changing my mind. It's renewing my mind. I'm renewing my mind so that I don't allow my flesh to do whatever he wants. I'm renewing my mind by putting the Word of God into my spirit. I'm getting it in me. It's going in me. And my mind is changing. My soul is changing so that my flesh is starting to bend down a little bit. My flesh is starting to shrink a little. Okay? It's going down. And then I start praying. Yep, here, step up. Yeah, there you go. I start praying. Man, I start praying, and it's like, wow. When I start praying, then my will and my emotions are going, oh, my gosh. I start crying when I start praying, and it's like, oh, because I'm submitting my emotions to the Lord, and he's touching my heart, and my flesh is going, what in the world's going on? I don't want to cry right now. And the Spirit's going, it's okay. You need to die a little. A little more. And then because I've been worshiping and I've been reading and I've been praying, I start giving to God. And my flesh is going, oh my gosh, do you know what we could do with that money? And my soul is like, who do I listen to? Who do I listen to? Oh my gosh, do you really want me to give 10% of all I earn to God? And my flesh is going, no! And my spirit's going, yes! And my spirit's grabbing this guy and he's choking him out because he starts fasting. He starts fasting and this guy starts getting weaker and weaker and weaker and he can't hold on anymore. And pretty soon the mind is just changed. I'm going to give to God. That's what happens. You got to know that's what's going on. And then, oh my gosh, I've been reading the Word and the Word tells me I need to forgive people. And my soul's going, forgive people? Because in my mind, those people hurt me. Those people were mean to me. They said bad things about me. They molested me. They hurt me. How can I forgive them? and the Spirit saying, we're going to do it by faith. We're going to do it by faith. We're going to choose to forgive. And the flesh is going, what is going on right now? Why are we forgiving these people? And the soul's going, be quiet. Be quiet. Because your mind's been changed. Because you've been in the Word, you've been praying, you've been worshiping. Now you're forgiving. And then your flesh is gone. You know, I'm feeling pretty healthy now. I was feeling so sick. I was feeling so tormented. I'm not feeling tormented anymore. Because forgiveness keeps us from being tormented. And then you start really receiving the love of God. The love of God just pours into you. And you're like, wow. And the mind is going, oh my gosh, what is happening to us right now? I didn't know it could be this good. And the flesh, he just stops talking. He's got nothing to say. Because it's come into subjection to the Spirit. Now you go down on the floor and you come back up here, Robert, come up here, come up here, come up here. See, but if you don't do these things, your flesh is going to rule. Your mind won't change. And you're going to struggle like never before, because now that you have the Spirit of God in you, you're going to think, well, why hasn't things changed for me? What Pastor always talks about change. Why isn't it changed? Because if you don't go through the process of God getting in you more, then your mind's never going to change. If you're not reading your Word, if you're not praying, if you're not worshiping, nothing's going to change. You're just going to think, wow, that was a neat experience. Experiences are incredible. But if you want to grow in Christ, you got to get into the Word. Amen. You got to kill that guy. You got to build this guy up. Come on up. You got to fill him up, your spirit. And these are just simple ways that you can do it. I am way out of my notes right now, but simple ways that you can do it. Worship. Pray. Pray, read your Word. Get the Word of God in you so that your mind is changed. Forgive people, amen? Give to the Lord. And you'll see a transformation start happening in your lives that pretty soon your flesh will be so submitted to your spirit that the battle... See, and it's not because you focused on your flesh, it's because you focused on God. And that's what we need to do. We need to put our focus on God. And thank you guys. Give them a hand as they go. That comes from being filled with the Spirit and being empowered by the Holy Spirit. And there's two promises I want to remind you of today. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but you shall receive power. Everybody say power.
Power.
When the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So the Holy Spirit is sent to empower us. Amen. We know we've talked a few weeks about overcoming our weaknesses. But I know the Holy Spirit is meant to transform us. To get us where God wants us to be. The next scripture is John 14:16. He says, I will pray the Father that he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. How long?
Forever.
For eternity. The Holy Spirit is in us forever. He does not leave us. The intent of God is that we come in the form of that he come in the form of the Holy Spirit and empower us to live a godly life forever. Look at your neighbor and say, forever. A godly life forever. And so the Holy Spirit comes in us when we get filled with the Spirit of God, and he fills us with specific things to help us. And the first one that I want to look at today is the fruit of the Spirit. This is my fruit right here. Okay. The love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, the self-control. This is the big one. I'm really good at this one. Let's see, what am I really good at? I don't want you to tell me. I'm good at faithfulness. Amen. That's faithfulness. Now, patience. Maybe here. I got patience, but it's not quite, might not quite be as big as my faithfulness. And sometimes we have fruit that don't look so good. We have it, but it's kind of brown and kind of gooey. Smells real ripe. But we have all of the fruit of the Spirit when you have the Spirit of God. When you have the Spirit, you have the love, you have the joy, you have the peace, you have the long-suffering, you have the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, and the gentleness. If you have one, if you have the Spirit, you have them all. Can I hear an amen? They're all in you. But it's what you allow to be developed in your life that's going to shine. So I have allowed, you know, all these to go. I mean, this might be love right here. This could be peace. This could be long-suffering. Man, I used to be so impatient when I was younger. Oh my gosh, I used to yell at Delonda all the way to church because we were late. It was like, oh my gosh, you know, can't you get up earlier or something, you know? And you know, because we lived, you know, 22, it was 22 miles away door to door where we lived for 16 and a half years when our kids were growing up. And it was like we were always late for church. And I'd yell at her, 22 miles, I'd yell at her, you know, I'd be like, oh, yeah. And she said, do you think God thinks this is a big sin? I'd be like, don't bring God into this. I like to be on time, and on time is 10 to 15 minutes early. Well, one day God told me, he said, why don't you be part of the solution instead of part of the problem? I'm like, what? He said, why don't you get up earlier? I'm like, okay, what do you want me to do? He says, why don't you make breakfast for the family? Why don't you get your girls ready? Why don't you do their hair? I don't do hair, God. I mean, you see my hair, this is easy. I used to get my girls up. I'd iron all the clothes. I'd make the breakfast. I'd put on their foo-foo gowns that they wore every Sunday. You could ask people around that been in this church a while. My girls were always dressed, you know, the foo-foo dresses. And I'd crimp their hair. Or I'd straighten their hair. I'd put curlers in there. My wife taught me how to do all that mess. Because I wanted to be part of the solution. I wanted my long-suffering to grow. I wanted it to grow. So God put me in the position for it to grow. And he'll put you in the position. Like if you say, I know people say, don't ever pray for patience because, you know, you're going to go through trials. Well, you should embrace it. Don't you want the fruit of the Spirit to grow in you? Don't you want it? Yeah. Amen. Good answer. The faithfulness, the gentleness. Don't we want it to grow in us? So God will put you in the position, Josie, where when you're saying, God, I want the fruit of the Spirit. I want it to be so evident in me. Well, he'll put you in the position to be gentle. Because every day we get to make that choice, huh, Pastor Rob? How we're going to act. Are we going to act with the fruit or are we going to act with the flesh? We're going to walk in the Spirit or are we going to walk in our flesh? So are we going to be peaceful people? Are we going to be joy? Now, I didn't say happy. I said joy. You know, because just because you have joy doesn't mean you're laughing all the time. Joy just means that you're not moved by every circumstance of life that's happening around you, that you're staying the course. See, because when you have the joy of the Lord, it doesn't mean you're that's not joy. That's happiness. But joy is like, hey, your cat just got ran over. Aw, poor cat. And you just keep going. I say that about cats because most people don't like cats. But but you know, it's not being so moved that it, by every circumstance that happens to you. My mom always said, she says, Ron, you have so much joy. And I said, well, I know God's got it. No matter what, God's got it. You see, because the word declares this. He says, all things work together for good to them who love God and are called according to his purpose. So if you're in that mode of fulfilling that scripture in your life, all things work together for good to those who love God and called according to purpose. You're walking with God. You're walking in the Spirit. So everything's for your benefit. Everything's for your benefit. Everything. Now, we may not like what happens, but it's for our benefit. And we may not see what's happening at that moment, but when you get it in your heart, God does not intentionally want to hurt me. I know I've told you, but I told DeLonda one day, I said, honey, when I offend you, just know that in my heart, I never want to offend you. It's never my heart to offend you. I said, number two, when I do offend you, go back to number one. But it's never in my heart to offend you. If you could just know that, I never want to hurt your feelings. I never want to crush your spirit. I always want to build you up and lift you up, but when I don't, just remember number one. She's pretty good at it. After almost 38 years, she's still with me. Hallelujah. Galatians, after that passage, 24 and 25, it says, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. See, so if you're going to say, I'm a Christian, then be a Christian. Walk. Don't have to walk like me, but walk like Jesus. Do what he says to do, amen? I'm not saying you got to be like me. You don't have to do the things I do, but do what Jesus did. Live the way Jesus tells you to act, amen? That's what you want to be. So if you're going to live in the Spirit, if you're going to say, I heard this joke the other day. It was this guy pulled up to the light, and his car stalled, and he didn't make it through the light, and this lady is behind him and honking and carrying on and everything and screaming and flipping him off out the window, and an officer pulled up behind him and behind her, and he got out and he said, ma'am, get out of the car. And he got out of the car and he handcuffed her and he took her into the station. And after a little bit, he came back and he said, okay, ma'am, you've checked out. You're okay. I'm going to release you. And she says, well, why did you arrest me? He says, well, ma'am, I pulled up behind you and you had this Jesus loves you sticker. You had, you know, all these Christian stickers on the back of your car, and you were waving at your hand and you were cussing and screaming at the driver in front of you. I just figured somebody stole your car. If you're going to live in the Spirit, if you're going to say you're a Christian, walk it out, amen? Everywhere you go. Live it, breathe it. Hallelujah. You know, and then as I did that demonstration, that's when this demonstration is right now in my notes. So, but the Holy Spirit's trying to give us tools to walk in the Spirit so we don't fulfill our flesh, so that we're not doing what we want, but we're doing what God wants. The idea is that you have all the fruit, and the Holy Spirit will never leave you. So you have it all. If you got some stinky bananas in your life, Nydia said make banana bread. Make it into something tasteful, amen? That's good. You know, I told him, I said, I didn't wash this fruit, so don't just take it and eat it. You know, but the idea of fruit is that people can come and taste and see that the Lord is good. As they could come and they could, that's a nice plum. I had to remember what I bought last night. It's a nice, look at how big that plum is. You'll take it. Make sure you wash it. The fruit, you got to grow it. But it's in you. And you fertilize it with life. And you evaluate yourself, amen? So that you know where you're at. You have it all. You have the fruit. Some of it may seem dried up and brown, but put some water to it, amen? Water it with the Holy Spirit. Water it by praying in the Spirit. Water it by being in the presence of God, amen? Water it by worshiping. Pray in tongues. Pray in your heavenly language. Let your spirit just grow and let it just water. So the Spirit, the Holy Spirit comes and he gives us the fruit, but he also gives us gifts. Amen? The Holy Spirit puts gifts in us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, it says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So there's a lot of diverse gifts, and you may not have them all, you may not do them all, but you know, in the end of this, it says, desire the best gift. The best gift is to me is this. When I'm praying for the sick, I need the gift of healing, amen? And when I'm trying to encourage somebody, I need the gift of prophecy. So that's the best gift. The best gift I need when I'm in that situation. So it says, there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversity of activities, but it is all the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So the manifestation of the Spirit, look at your neighbor and say, is for you. For each one. Each one of us are to manifest the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen? Each one of us are to walk in the Spirit. So the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Everybody say all.
All.
Look at your neighbor, say all.
All.
It's for all of us. Amen? You're given the gift so that you can encourage everybody in the body. So for one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Amen? The Holy Spirit distributes the gifts. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, healings, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues. I just thought it was great. There's nine fruit. There's nine gifts that he lists here. And they're for everybody. Look and say everybody. They're for you. Amen. So there's a diversity of gifts, look at, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. The whole Godhead is shared right there. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit are shared right here in that passage. It's the Godhead who works all in all inside of us to do these things. God is not disengaged from this earth. God is so engaged, and God wants to fill us overflowing that we can do the things that he's called us to do. The Trinity is alive and doing fine. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And he gives us these gifts to be able to do these things. So in John chapter 14, verse 12, it says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. How many of you believe in Jesus? You really believe in Jesus? Okay, so the things that Jesus did, you will do also. Huh? You will do them also. Greater. Everybody say greater.
Greater.
Can you imagine? I mean, get it in your head, get it in your spirit that you're to do greater works than Jesus did. Some of you have been sitting like this lately. If your gifts were in your hands, you've been sitting on it. You know it's there, but you don't know quite what to do with it. Start using them. Start flowing. Huh. You remember the parable of the talents? Jesus gave one guy five talents, one guy two, and one guy one. And the one guy that had five doubled him into ten, and one guy had two doubled to four. And the guy that had one buried it. Stop burying it. That's a word of the Lord to somebody here today. Stop burying your talent. God has put you in the place and in the position that He wants you to step up, and He wants you to step out. God wants you to start using your gifts like never before. So He's saying, what are you waiting for? Why have you been holding back? I've not given you fear, but I've given you this power, and I've given you love, and I've given you a sound mind to do this. So do it. Whatever. Everybody say, whatever. You ask in my name, Jesus, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Hallelujah. He will do it. So with the empowering of the Holy Spirit, we're to do the things that Jesus did. Because He ascended to the Father. And I talked about this last week. He ascended to the Father. Because when He was here, He laid hands on His disciples. He gave them power over sickness and over demons. He empowered them. He laid hands and He sent them out. He sent the 12 out the first. They came back with a good report. He got 70 more guys and He laid hands on them and He empowered them to go out and do the work. But He said, listen, it's imperative that I go away, because when I go away, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit to you. And the Holy Spirit, who was with us, and He was with us in the form of Jesus, who could only be in one place at one time at that point. But He says, but who was with you. And now the Holy Spirit will be in you. He will be in you. So that you can do the things that Jesus did. Amen. Greater things will you do, because He went to the Father and sent the Holy Spirit back to empower us, that we could begin to do what Jesus did. That freaks me out right now. Think about what Jesus did. Think about, raise the dead. The lame walked. Deaf ears, blind eyes. Leprosy went away. This guy in Mexico, David Hogan, he ministers to the Indians, the tribes in Mexico. And he went to a meeting one time, and there was a guy there with leprosy, and he said he was gooey. Everything, his clothes, everything was gooey. Couldn't recognize a face or anything. He was, his face had run off, and he was gooey. So when it came time to pray for the sick, he stuck his hand into the goo, laid hands on him, and spoke to that leprosy and commanded it to go. Now, when he took his hand off, I'd love you to hear it be that he was just so excited, but the devil right away whispered to him, said, "I got you now." And he told one of the guys that worked with him, "Get me a bucket of water with some lye in it. I need to wash." But he washed and he was okay. But he come back 6 months later to that same place, and there was this guy that was just so excited, worshiping God and everything. And he went up to Pastor Hogan and he said, "Hey, do you remember me?" And he's like, "No, I don't remember you." He goes, "Come on, you laid hands on me and the Lord healed me." And he goes, I still don't remember you." He goes, "I was the guy that had leprosy." And the God had totally restored his face, totally restored and delivered him from leprosy. He was totally and completely healed. He also told a story of a young boy that died in the river, drowned. And they got him out of the river. He was caught and tangled in some trees. And David had some fins and he had a mask. And so he was out there and he found him tied in these trees, caught in the trees in the flood. And he pulled him out to the beach, and all the people from that village were there. And the Lord said, If you pray for him, I'll bring him back. And he didn't do it. He just walked away. He didn't have it to step up and do it. And we could say, oh, how could he not? How could you not? How you been sitting on your hands all this time? God's called you to get up, get out, and start doing. He's empowered you with the Holy Spirit to win the lost. He's empowered you with the Spirit of God to touch people's lives. Here's David Hogan, and he's gone. And when he walked away, he went home. He didn't do anything for a month. He just thought, and his wife finally came to him and said, either you get up and you go out, or we're going back to Texas. So he got up and went out. And when the next opportunity came to pray for somebody to raise from the dead, he did, without an encouraging word from the Lord, he did, and that person got up. You can't sit on these gifts, amen? You have these 9 gifts, and they're meant to benefit everybody. They're meant to benefit the church, amen? The whole church. And taking time to learn about them is your responsibility. Taking time to learn about them and how they flow is your responsibility. We teach a lot in our growth groups on Wednesday night. And this next year, they'll be teaching more and more on the gifts. And if you really want to use them, get in a growth group and start in a group there. Start in the group utilizing your gifts. Pastor Rob's teaching on the Holy Spirit right now in his growth group. Go to his growth group. Learn more. Amen? I had one amen. Maybe not. Sorry, Rob. I'm telling you. According to the parable, our master's coming back. And he's going to ask you, what did you do with that gift? What did you do with that gift I gave you? Oh, I buried it because I didn't want to lose it. Let me just talk to you about prophecy for a few minutes. 1 Corinthians 14:3-4, it says, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. But he who speaks in tongues edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. So, this is how it works for me. I pray in the Spirit a lot by myself, so that when I come together with you, that I might prophesy to you, that I might encourage you, that I might edify you, that I might comfort you. But that all comes because I've been praying in the Spirit, Stella, and as I've been praying in the Spirit, it's been edifying my soul, it's been edifying my life, it's been building me up, that while I'm so encouraged that when I come out, I can pour out because I've been with the Lord and I've prayed and I'm in the Spirit and I can come and I can begin to prophesy and I can begin to encourage and I can begin to comfort you. Today may not be too comforting for you, but I'm also here to challenge you. Let me just give you because prophecy is to edify people, to exhort people, and to comfort people, to bring comfort, amen? That's what it says. This is prophecy. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. So it's not to correct and uncover and to tear down. Yeah, that's not prophecy. We're not correcting people. We're not uncovering people. We're not tearing people down. We're not revealing their sin to the world. Oh, the Lord says that you're doing this. If the Lord tells you that about somebody, he means for you to pray. But prophecy is to encourage. Let me give you an example. How many of you have loved ones that aren't serving Jesus today? Well, let me encourage you today. Acts 16:31. So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved, you and your household. Amen? You and your household. Your household will be saved. You say, well, my kids don't live with me. Yeah, but they're still under you. Amen? You and your household. And they will be saved. Amen? How many of you have been struggling with finances? You've had some battles. Okay. Listen, it says this. It says, give, and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Be put into your bosom. For with the same measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. With the same measure you give, God's going to pour back to you. Amen? I wish I could just say, oh, God's going to open the windows and bless you. But the windows of heaven are opened by what? Giving. So let me encourage you today. If you're struggling finance, man, give to the Lord. Give to the Lord. Amen. I love, you know, the people that have been serving God for a long time that just that give no matter what. You know, they just, you know, we had a lady that was in the church for a few years, and then her husband became ill. And while he was ill, she got ill. And so she didn't come for about maybe one time in 4 years, or two times, because one of them was her husband's funeral. And the other time she got somebody to bring her for 4 years. But you know, she never missed a month of tithing. Never. Every year she sent an encouraging note to me. Every month, an encouraging note to me, and sent in her tithe. And God always took care of her. And now I've finally released her because it's like, go to a church where you live. You know, if you can't get here, and there was one by her, and she's going to that church now. Praise God. Amen? But she was faithful. And out of our faithfulness, God will bless us. Amen? You see how easy encouraging somebody is? You can encourage each other. You know, we declare, you know, when you're sick, we encourage you with, by his stripes, we are healed. You know that he sent forth his word to heal you of all disease. See, when I'm feeling punky, I start speaking the word over my life. When my body starts trying to get out of alignment, I start speaking the word over my life. I just declare the word. I prophesy to myself. I look in the mirror and I say, by his stripes, you are healed. Amen. I declare it over myself. I prophesy to myself. Prophesy. I love to prophesy scripture. You know why? Because it does not return void to God, but it accomplishes what it was sent forth to do. So when you speak the scripture, when you prophesy the scripture, it's going to accomplish. Dick Mills, an older man of God, he had like 10,000 scriptures committed to memory. Man, when that man of God prophesied to you, his wife would sit there and write down every scripture, and at the end, they'd hand you that piece of paper with them scriptures. Incredible. We need to be comforting one another. Amen? How many of you know life is hard sometimes? It's challenging. Sometimes we need each other to make it through. We need to be able to come and encourage each other and build each other up. Sometimes we got to lock arms with people and help them walk through what they're going through. Amen? We need to come alongside and encourage them. Come on, you can do this. Because through Christ we can. Amen? I can do all things through who? Christ. Who strengthens me. And he strengthens me through his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has empowered me, has given me strength. He also said to pray in tongues. This will edify yourself. It'll encourage you. It'll strengthen you. It'll give you the reason to keep going when you're praying in the Spirit. He's been waking me up at crazy hours to pray in the Spirit lately. I'm like, okay, Lord. He's like, I only want you to pray in tongues. That's it. Just pray in the Spirit. I'm like, okay, Lord. And I start praying in tongues because that's what he's asking. He wants me to pray in the Spirit. So I know he's made me the head of this church. If he wants me to pray in the Spirit, he wants you to pray in the Spirit. Amen? So I encourage you to start doing it every day. Make sure you're praying in the Spirit. And you say, oh, Pastor, I don't pray in tongues yet. Well, just how do you get the Spirit? Just ask for it. Just ask. Father, give me the Spirit. Give me those tongues today, God. Yeah, just fill me overflowing, God. Just let it flow out of me, God. Let a river flow in through me, God. Lord, that I could be poured out today. And Lord, that I can minister out of the overflow of who you are in me. Oh, let it flow, God. You just ask. And he'll pour into you. He's a good God. And I need that. You need that. If we're going to build others up, if we're going to do it good, we need that. We need it to flow. And all you have to do is ask. Ask for the Spirit. Ask for that heavenly language. And as you pray in the Spirit, God will just flow through you. He'll move through you. You'll be like, wow, where did that come from? You know, because it'll just flow out. Boldness will come to you and you'll say, hey, let me pray for you. I believe that God wants to heal you today. And you'll pray, they'll get healed, and you'll be like, oh, wow. That's what praying in the Spirit will do. Amen? Exhort, comfort, encourage each other. Last scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Take comfort in that today. That God loves you. And when you believe in him, you'll have a relationship with him. Because everlasting life is not just living forever. Everlasting life means that you'll have relationship with God the Father and God the Son. That's what everlasting life is. That's what it means. And God loves you that he made a way for all of that. And he not only made a way, he empowered us by his Spirit so we can stay in the way of God, in the truth of God, that we don't get lost and that we don't get cast by the wayside. Being filled with God's Holy Spirit empowers us, gives us fruit to grow so that people can come and harvest from us the love, the joy, the peace, the kindness, the goodness, the gentleness, the faithfulness, the self-control. It's in you. Let's pray. Oh, hallelujah, Father. Lord, we glorify you and we exalt you today, God. You are a good, good God. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, I pray that you just send the Holy Spirit on each one of us right now. Let the Holy Spirit just come and just fill us today. Yeah. Just tell him, just ask him today, fill me, Holy Spirit. Fill me, Holy Spirit. Fill me, Holy Spirit. Fill me today. Fill me today. Fill me today, yeah. Oh, let it flow, God. Let the Holy Spirit just fill us. Oh, let the Holy Spirit just rain down on us today. Rain down on us today. Hallelujah. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Ron, I've not been walking in the Spirit, but I need to get on that path today. I need to go with God in every area of my life. If that's you today, just raise your hand and wave at me. I want to pray for you today. If that's you. Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God for those hands. Father, you saw those hands right now. And Lord, I pray right now that these people of God just be filled today with you. That, Lord, that those old things be passed away and all things become new today, God. That, Lord, that you fill them with your Spirit and empower them today, God. That, Lord, that the forgiveness of sins just flows in this house today, God. That, Lord, we'd be renewed by the Holy Spirit today. And I pray for that desire for the Word of God to be inside of us, that desire to worship, to pray, Lord, to give, to forgive, and to receive your love. And, Lord, as we receive your perfect love today, Lord, let it just flow in us. Just wash over us today, God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Why don't we all stand this morning? We're going to sing a song right now, and I just want you to just enter in. You can come to the front. You can stay in your seat. Just enter in today. Just raise your hands and just worship the Lord today with us.
By the Spirit. Be empowered by the Spirit. Be empowered by the Spirit. Let it
Just raise your hands and sing this.
There's an army rising up. And there's an army rising up. And there's an army rising up.
Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. The name above every name, the mighty name of Jesus. I pray that every chain of limitation be broken today, be taken off, God. That, Lord, our fruit would abound. Lord, our fruit would grow like this watermelon, God. That, Lord, our fruit would grow so big that people could come. Partake of it, God. Let us deal with the brown bananas of our life, God. That today, God, you'd break that tie with the brown banana, God. Whatever's holding us back, you'd break that tie today with that bad fruit. You'd renew us today, God. Yeah. That you'd put such peace in us, such love, God, that people don't recognize us. Give us your strength, Holy Spirit, to walk this out today. And I pray a covering over every person here today, God, that you cover them, protect them, heal them, Lord, and bless them indeed. Lord, that we would all go today in the power of the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Let's just give me one big shout. Wait a minute. I want to tell you what to shout. I'm going to count to three, and I want you to just shout with me, break every chain. One, two, three. Break every chain! Hallelujah. Have a great day. Remember me in your prayers. Next week, you're going to be blessed. I'm telling you, the person that's coming to share is going to bless your socks off. They won't be as crazy as me, but they're going to challenge you too. So make sure you're here next couple of weeks and let God just move through you. Amen. Have a great week. God bless you. Get in a growth group. There's flyers on the information booth.